If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. We'll pick up there. This is the second part to our message. Last week we began dangers of backsliding. If you remember last week, we discussed three of those dangers, and the first thing that we discussed last week was that backsliding can ruin your witness. Second thing that we discussed is that you can lead others astray. None of us want to do that. We don't want our witness to be ruined, and we definitely don't want to lead others astray when it comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the third thing that we discussed last week is that it can cause disunity. And one thing we want to do as believers is we want to be unified. We don't want there to be any division among us, but we want to know that when we're talking about Jesus, that we're talking about someone who died on an old rugged cross, who died for our sins, he rose on the third day, and that he lives at the right hand of the Father in heaven today. We want to be unified in our beliefs of who Jesus Christ is. And I think we are. I think we would confirm. I think that we would all agree that Jesus is our Savior and Lord. But I want to share with you this morning as we talk about that fourth danger. It's that it can lead to confusion. None of us want to lead others into a wrong understanding of God's love. We don't want to lead others into a wrong understanding of God's grace and God's mercy. And so as we look at the Scripture this morning, we're going to talk about some of these things. As a matter of fact, as we get into the Scripture this morning, really, we're going to pinpoint something specific as it deals with salvation in a way that helps us understand where you are as a believer. We're going to talk about justification. So as we talk about justification, it's one of those doctrines that not a lot of people discuss. We don't talk about that in the church very often. And so I want you to do something among yourselves this morning. I want you to turn to the person to the left or to the right of you this morning. And in 20 words or less, I want you to describe to your neighbor justification. 20 words or less. Can you do that this morning? 20 words or less. Some of you are trying, and that's wonderful. The rest of you are just looking at me like I've lost my mind. And so let me share with you, if you weren't able to do that this morning, that's absolutely okay. Before we conclude our message this morning, I want to try and narrow it down to about two words for you. About two words. Hopefully you have a much, much better understanding of what justification really is all about. So this morning what we're going to do is to keep there from being confusion. We're going to define justification. We're going to explain it after we define it. And then we're going to learn how it applies to our lives as individuals. And so with that, I do want to ask you that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Galatians chapter 2, verse 14 and following this morning. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of a Gentile and not as a Jew, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Did you get that this morning? Make sure you heard that. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Will you pray with me? Blessed Father in heaven, today, in the strong name of Jesus, we thank you so much for grace, for mercy, for love that is unconditional. And we thank you for our justification. Thank you that it isn't something that we have to accomplish on our own. Thank you that we were met and we are met with justification at the cross of Jesus. And Father, we praise you for that, asking that today you would speak to our hearts concerning this doctrine that's so often confused and confusing. Lord, help us to have a better understanding of it today. Help us to apply it to our hearts and to our lives as individuals. Lord, we ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, three things this morning that we're going to try and hammer out. It's important because really there's a lot of confusion out there about what justification really means, about what it means as a part of our salvation as believers. And so if I were to ask you the question this morning, are you saved? Some of you would look at me and you would say, I hope so. Others would look at me and say, yes, I'm saved. And if I were to ask you this morning, if you were to die today, are you going to go to heaven or hell? Some of you would look at me and you would say sincerely, I hope I go to heaven. While others would confidently say, I know I'm going to heaven. And we're going to talk about this today as we break the word down in this text that Paul spoke to the Galatian churches about. So the first thing that I want to share with you as we move along today is let's define justification. If you have your Bibles, turn over on your bulletins rather, turn over on the back and you'll have that outline to follow along. Just fill that outline in as we move along this morning. But justification defined is the first thing. Do you know that the word justification is talked about? It's either justify or justification 19 times in all of Paul's letters. Four times in these few verses that we're looking at right here this morning, verses 15 and 16, Paul said this. I need you to get it. Listen, understand what he's saying. That's why I want to try and define justification so that you'll have that understanding of it this morning. But there was some confusion. Verse 14 talks about that confusion. Verse 14 talks about how Peter was living his life one way when the Jewish Christians were not here, when the leaders were not there, with the VIPs we talked about last week, when they weren't there in the midst of Peter and the other Gentile believers, even the Jewish believers as they were mixed in together. And then all of a sudden, the VIPs, they come in to the church for a visit. They have a great fellowship meal. And you remember last week as we discussed this, what had happened was that Peter stopped eating with the Gentiles. He didn't want to have anything to do with the pork anymore. He just wanted the beef brisket. That's all he wanted. And then he would no longer sit with the Gentiles because they were still considered unclean. They didn't go through the law, the rituals of the law that the Jews thought were required for salvation, making the law important for them and that trying to get it sold in the church that if you didn't follow the law that you still couldn't be saved. And Paul was distraught about that. He was pretty upset. And he wanted the church to know. He wanted the VIPs. He wanted the leaders to know that he was disappointed in them. And then it gets to the church, and he wants them to really understand what's going on. And that's where we are this morning as we begin to talk about justification, because he didn't want there to be any confusion in the church. We don't need that. Amen? We need to know where we stand before God. We need to know that we're either in a right standing before God Almighty through the blood of Jesus Christ, or we need to understand that we're not in a right standing this morning when it comes to us being in the presence of of God through Jesus Christ. And so we're trying to find this justification this morning. And so verse 15, this is what Paul said. He says, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ." Paul says, as you remember that not only was Paul a Jew, but he was also one who, as a Pharisee, was literally working his way up the ranks so that he could come to a place in his ministry or his work where he was truly considered a VIP in the Pharisaic world. And as we continue looking this morning, he says that we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And so Paul is writing and he's trying to talk about these rules that the rest of the Gentiles were being forced to keep in order for them to receive salvation, as though salvation was something that they would receive by order of the law rather than grace, the grace of Jesus Christ. And as we continue on in the text this morning and the scripture, I want to share with you as we talk about these words. Listen, justification is the act of God whereby he declares the believing sinner righteous in Jesus Christ. That's justification defined. It's defined this way. Listen, justification is the act of God. It's not anything that you can do or that you have done. Listen to this right now. Justification is an act of God. Do you get that this morning? Do you get what justification really is? Understanding that it's an act of God and that it is not based on your goodness. That it is not based on your obedience to the law. Justification is based on God's actions and not yours. And so justification is the act of God whereby he declares the believing sinner righteous in Jesus Christ. Isn't that an important thing to know? Don't you need to know where you stand in Jesus Christ? Understand this as we begin to define justification. Understand, and let me beat on this. Let me hammer it out so that you can get it this morning, that you being justified before an almighty God is based on God and God alone. Amen? Or oh me. Are you awake, church? I need you to get this. This is an important doctrine. You need to understand being justified. And so if I ask you, are you justified this morning? What are you going to say? Yes. But now, do you believe that you're justified, or are you just saying that because the preacher asked a question and you think the right answer is yes? I believe. Amen. And so, understanding that it's not based on your actions, but God's actions, and it's based on here, the point where you get involved is, as a sinner, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? Hello? You believe that? That Jesus Christ died for you? Maybe we need to have a participatory message this morning. Because I need to know that you're getting this text. I need to know that you're getting what I'm talking to you about today. When you leave these doors from this service today, I need you to believe and to know and understand that you are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you. And so here's what the scripture says. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I need you to hear this. Paul said to the Romans that we have been justified by faith. Did you hear that? We have been justified by faith. In other words, it is not an act that you can do or you can even get involved in, but you have been justified through faith. You have been. It's something that's already happened for you. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have either been justified or you are one day going to be justified because you're going to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Prayerfully. That's the goal, amen, for a lost soul. The goal for a lost soul is that you and I share the gospel of Jesus with them in such a way that they understand their lostness and their need for a Savior. And so we look at the scripture this morning, Romans 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On Wednesday night, we've been talking about peace a couple of weeks ago. And I think last week I might have explained peace just a little bit to you. But let's talk about it just for a second, because I know there is not an individual in here who does not desire peace with God. So what does it mean? What does it mean to have peace with God? Listen to me. It's important. Get this. Peace with God means that you're not at odds with Him. It means that you're not at war with God. If you were in a battle or if you were in war with God, do you think you could win? No. So peace is important, isn't it? Peace is important so that you understand you realize your standing with God. And so peace with God means that you're not at war, you're not at odds with Him, but that you're unified together with Him. And how is it that you are unified together with God the Father in heaven? How is that possible? The scripture tells us, through our Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't make it hard, amen? He wants us to be able to truly understand. He wants us to truly be able to believe. He wants us to have a faith that is undying and that is real, and it involves a Savior whose name is Jesus, and we need to have peace with God in our relationship with Him. He desires that you have that kind of faith. Do you today have that kind of faith in God where you understand that you're at peace with Him? That things are right between you and God. Are they? Are things right between you and God today? That's that definition that we've talked about. My prayer is that you're right with God. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence, is what Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 says. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. If you try to approach God on your own goodness, you're only going to get so far as the door. There's going to be a barricade because there's absolutely no way you're going to be good enough to approach God. You're going to get to the door and or this barricade, whatever it is, and you're not going to be able to bust through it. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care what kind of tools you have. I don't care what kind of weapons you possess. You'll never be able to get through the door. It's barricaded, and you cannot push your way or work your way through that door. There's only one key, and His name is Jesus. And church, we need to get that, but understand that once you get it, it's much easier to get up there to that door and to be able to work your way through, because it's going to be open before you. And you don't have to worry about even turning the knob. There's not going to be any barricades there. And so whenever I think about being justified, a little wordplay that I learned at Union, and it's justified equals this: just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that good? And as we talk about what justification means, let me narrow it down for you one more time. It means right standing. There are those two words that I was talking to you about. Right standing before God. That's justification defined. Now, this morning, let's talk about explaining justification. We've defined it, I think, even in the process of defining it, we've explained it a little bit, but there's a little bit further that we can go with that explanation. And this is where verse 17 through 19 really comes into play. And it's important, church, that you get this today. Listen to what the scripture says in verse 17 and following. He says, "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also were found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin?" Let me read that again. If we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we understand our position is that we can't justify ourselves, but that we're trusting Christ to give us a right standing before God. And if we understand that we are sinners, or that we are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Absolutely not. Certainly not, is what the scripture says this morning. Certainly not. Christ is not an administer of sin. He's not a minister of sin. And then verse 18 says this, "For if I built again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." That means that I backslide. It means that I fall away from the belief that I once had. "For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God." Through the law, I died to the law. Through the law, because of the law, God stepped out of the glories of heaven, lived a perfect sinless life, and went to an old rugged cross thinking of you. And so, two things quickly as we explain justification that you need to understand, that you need to get. And first of all, that's this, is that the law kills. Paul said, through the law, I died to the law. The reason, why did God give us the Old Testament? Do you know why? The Old Testament law, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, God gave us the law. He gave us the Old Testament so that through the law, we could see our need for a Savior. Through the law, what happens is that you realize that there's no way for perfection. Through the law, you begin to understand that you can't uphold those. Through the law, you begin to get the picture and realization where you see that there's nothing that you can do that's ever going to be good enough to get you into heaven. That's what the Old Testament is about. And all the while, the Old Testament is pointing to the Savior of the New Testament, whose name is Jesus. And we get that this morning. We see, we realize that. We can begin to understand that the law kills. Paul said this. He said it. He said that through the law that I might die. Or that through the law, I died to the law. The law was given so that we could see our need for a Savior. That's the purpose of the law. So that you can realize, so that you can see, so that you can experience firsthand your need for someone who is real, that can save you from the murky, miry muck of your life. And there's nothing that you can ever do that is good enough for you to be able to earn your salvation. It is not possible. Thus, Christ died as the perfect, spotless lamb, thinking of you all the while. We always talk about Christ's death, don't we? Christ's burial, his resurrection. But listen, that's everything that the church stands on. That's the reason we gather together today. It's not because of who you are. It's because of who Christ is. And Paul said, died to the law. I died to the law. Died to the law. How many of you ever had an EKG? It's an electrocardiogram, I think, something like that. And what it does is it diagnoses the problem of the heart, doesn't it? If there's an issue with the heart, it helps see the issue of the heart. Now, let me ask you a question. What if this EKG, you knew that when you were going to go and you were going to get plugged up with all of these wires, wherever they go on you, wherever those wires hook up to you, And you knew in advance that if there was a problem found with the heart, that the EKG was just going to shock you and that you were just going to be dead right there on the table. If you knew that going in, that's what the EKG did. It saw the problem of the heart and then it just killed you dead. Would you ever go get an EKG? No. You know, that's why a lot of people don't read the Word of God. Because when they read into the Word of God, they realize that they're messed up. And we don't want to believe that we're messed up. And when we look at the Word, God shows us our fault. He shows us our mistakes. That's what really the Old Testament was all about, as we begin to explain that, understanding that the law kills. But let me share with you, as we continue to move on, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so the second thing, as we try to explain justification, is the law kills. Yes, I understand that the law kills, but God gives life. Amen goes there. God gives life. Amen. That means that in and of yourself, you can't do it. The law kills. You're trying to keep the law. You can't maintain peace with God. And when you come to God, when you surrender to Him, He gives life. In 1505, in Germany, Martin Luther began to experience this very thing. Martin Luther is an early church father, and you know, he begins as a Catholic, but God moves him on from Catholicism to a true believer. And so he was actually walking out in the rain in about 1505. It was storming outside. This is the story of Martin Luther, as he prayed and he asked God to save him. So he's walking outside in Germany in 1505, and it's a terrible thunderstorm, and lightning strikes right beside him. And as lightning strikes right beside him, he goes up to a Catholic church. He beats on the door and he says, "Saint Annie, Saint Annie, save me. I'll become a monk if you'll open the door and let me in." And so he goes in and Martin Luther becomes a monk. It's amazing. He saw that as a sign that God had saved him. Well, God had bigger plans that even Martin Luther was aware of. And in the monastery, he wanted to be a good monk, and so he prayed and he fasted every single day. At night, he wanted to be so pious that he would sleep on a bed in the dead of winter without any covers, because he thought that showed him to have a humble heart. And literally, he almost froze himself to death on several occasions. And listen to what he said. He said this. He said, "If ever a monk got to heaven by monkery," that's good, isn't it? "If ever a monk got to heaven by monkery, I would have got there too. For if it had gone on much longer, I would simply have martyred myself to death with vigils, prayers, reading, and other works." Then Paul took the Word of God. He found Romans and he found Galatians, and he realized this little old verse that says, "The just shall live by faith." Big word. And it sunk in. And he got it. And he thought, "What am I doing? I'm trying to keep the law. I'm trying to be obedient. I'm trying to follow the rituals, the traditions of the church during that time. And all I'm doing is killing myself." He realized that the just shall live by faith. And the rest ultimately is history, because that's when he decided on a change. And so God gives life. Friends, do you understand this morning that God gives life? Amen. And the last thing that I want to submit to you this morning, and we're going to try and do this very quickly, is we're going to try and apply justification to our lives. You want to know how it applies, don't you? You want to know how you can take this big word, justification, this doctrinal study that we're having this morning, this theological principle that is hard to understand sometimes, when really it's not difficult to understand at all. It just means right standing. And so we're going to apply it to our lives this morning. Look at verses 20 and 21. This is what the Scripture tells us. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. Isn't that good? Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, he says. Wow. He got it. I don't set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Friends, did Christ die for no reason? Did he die for no reason? Was there reason for the cross? Do you think that God had that plan from the very beginning? I say amen, he did, yes. God's foreknowledge is so much greater than anything we can understand. His omniscience, he's all-knowing. He knows the beginning from the end. And so this morning, two things very, very quickly that I want to talk with you, powerful truths that we've got to get. Number one is faith. Number one is faith. And you've got to say this, today I surrender to Jesus who lives in me. Today I surrender. Listen, the Christian life is surrendering to Jesus who lives inside of you. But let's break it down. And preacher, it's not who lives inside of you. Listen, as an individual, you say this, the Christian life is me surrendering to Jesus Christ who lives inside of me. Does Jesus live inside of you? Have you accepted God as your Lord and Savior? Does he live inside of you? Listen, Vance Havner explained it this way. Sometimes I break out the old ones. This is how he explained it. He said, the first discovery a Christian needs to make is that he cannot live the Christian life himself. Amen. Then he says this, living the Christian life is not so much our responsibility, but our response to his ability. Wow. When I read something like that, my knees get so weak that I can't even hardly stand. Let me read that sentence again. He said, living the Christian life is not so much our responsibility, but our response to his ability. Whew. God's ability. Then he goes on to say, Paul didn't say, to me to live is Christ first. It was Christ, period. Christ was first, last, and everything between. Christ is not a way to live. He is our life. Understanding that gives you a bigger picture of what faith is really all about in receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. As we look at this, I ask you a question. Have you surrendered to Jesus Christ? Do you have faith enough to believe that you can't save yourself, but Jesus can? Do you have that kind of faith today? I pray you do. I pray you have that kind of faith today. And then the next thing quickly is, as justification is applied, faith is important. Today, you say this, I surrender to Jesus who lives in me. Number two is this, we're going to talk about grace, and that's this, today I depend on God's grace instead of my goodness. Today, I depend on God's grace instead of my goodness. It takes faith to believe that Jesus lives in me. But it takes an understanding of grace to stop trying to be good and do good all by yourself. That's where grace comes in. Amen? That's where that you realize you're just not good enough, and how it works hand in hand with justification is marvelous. If right standing before God could be attained by keeping the law, Paul said this, then Christ died for nothing. And I ask you again, did Christ die for no reason? No. He died for you and he died for me. Friends, I want to tell you something. I'm not perfect. Amen. But let me tell you this. Get this. Listen to me. You're not perfect either. That's why grace is so important to you and to me. As believer, grace. Grace is so important. In closing, let me share a story. There was this man, he was a factory foreman. Every day he would drive by a watch store. And he would look through the window as he come up to the stop sign. This clock store was right here on the at the corner of a street. And so the man, the foreman of the company, would come to this stop sign, and he would look in that window. Every morning, he would see a grandfather clock right through the windows. And he would set his clock by the grandfather clock every single morning. He would get there, the whistles would blow during work, and it would all be because he had set his clock according to the grandfather clock at the clockmaker's window. One day he was driving by, and he saw that the store owner was there, and so he pulled over and he talked with the store owner. He says, "I just want to ask you, how is it that you keep the accuracy of this grandfather clock?" He said, "Every day I set the clock according to the whistle at the factory." What he was doing, there's a point to this. What he was doing is they were justifying making sure the time was correct based on one another's efforts. They would look at they would listen for the clock, or they would look at the factory. The owner of the clock shop would, and he would set the grandfather clock based on the factory's whistle blowing. But the foreman of the factory would come by every morning, and he would adjust his clock so that he could run the company, the factory, based on the grandfather clock. Do you realize that that's what we do so many times in our own lives? We look at individuals to live our lives, and we try and justify, well, I'm better than they are. Well, I don't do as much wrong as they do. Do we realize how that's not the right standard in which you and I are to judge our lives? Jesus is. What's the right standard today? Jesus. You don't look at your neighbor. You don't look at your best friend. You don't look at your wife. You don't look, while they might be wonderful, godly examples, the standard that you are to use is Jesus Christ only. Thank you so much. Where do you find him? Where do you find his way of life? You find it through the Word, reading it and studying it. We don't read it so many times because we feel like he's going to show us where we mess up so many times. But closing this morning, I tell you that your justification is based on what God has done, what Jesus did on the cross, old rugged cross. Your justification is based on the old rugged cross. Your justification is based on Jesus' shed blood. Your justification is based on him being buried in a borrowed tomb and raised to life on the third day. That's what your justification is based on. You have a right standing before God the Father today based on your relationship with Jesus Christ. In closing today, let me ask you this. Have you been justified by faith? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Would you go to hell? Some of you are looking at me and you're saying, "Preacher, I heard what you said earlier. I think I would go to heaven. I hope I would go to heaven." Then you don't really understand justification or grace, or faith or grace. And so I ask you today, are you justified by Christ? And the only answer is either yes, I am, preacher, or no, I'm not. And if your answer today is no, I am not justified by faith, then you need to understand the dangers in that. Because the danger is that if you don't believe that you're justified by faith, then you're not in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you die today, you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. It's not a wonder. I know so. And so today, the next step is that you must put your faith in a risen Lord whose name is Jesus. And so today, have you been justified by faith? Today, are you justified by faith? Preacher, I've been justified by faith at one time in my life, but I'm just not sure that I'm justified today. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? If you can say yes to that, then you're still justified by faith. Because the law doesn't get you to heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. But maybe you're here today and you can say, preacher, I'm not justified by faith because I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Then the challenge is this. Today, before you leave, we're going to have an invitation time. And listen, church, if you know you're justified, but you know that there's someone that you're in a relationship with, whether it be a friend or a family member, if you know they're not justified, you know they're not saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, then I expect you to be at this altar praying for them today. That's my expectation. You think of one individual that God is placing on your heart right now that you can pray for. You come and you pray for that individual. But if you're here this morning and you as an individual can say, I'm not justified by faith, I want to tell you how you can make that right today. How you can have a right standing before God today is that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead that you might be saved. Is that you today? Are you that person who's here, who's listening, that maybe for the very first time you understand what grace is all about? Maybe for the first time you understand what being right with God is all about? Then you ask Jesus to come into your heart and to be your Lord and Savior. We're going to have an opportunity right now for you to respond. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. The musicians are going to come. And then we're going to have an opportunity for you to respond. What is God speaking to your heart about today? Father in heaven, today in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come before your throne and Lord, we acknowledge that there's nothing good in us. I think as individuals, we can pray that, we can say that knowing that there's nothing good in us outside of you as you dwell in our hearts. And Father, I want to thank you that as big as you are, there's room in my heart to receive you. Father, I want to thank you that as big as you are, there's room in your heart to save the sinner from their self today. And Lord, I pray that if there's even one person here today who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? You sing. You respond today. You come. You come today.
Oh, to Jesus, I surrender.